Welcome to the Susquehanna Valley Baptist Pulpit, preaching a life worth living, abundant life in Christ. And now the message.
Do you realize that there are 109 prophecies dealing with His first coming? Now, let me ask you something. For those who knew that there were 109 prophecies dealing with first coming, how many of those prophecies did He fulfill in His first coming? 109, every one of them. And there are prophecies now in the Old Testament and the New Testament predicting His second coming. How many of those prophecies will He fulfill? Every one of them. Because Jesus Christ is not a good rabbi. He's not a good example for you and me to follow. He's not a good man as in the sense of the word good man, but He is the literal Son of God.
Amen.
Who condescended to the world of darkness and interrupted the life of humanity and showed those humans and showed we humans that we need a Savior. You know why there's peace in the Middle East? No peace in the Middle East? It is simply because they have refused the Son of God.
Yeah.
Where's Pastor Starnes? Do you mind if I come off the pulpit?
Don't fall off.
I won't fall off. Do you mind? Okay, good. The way of peace they have not known. And I've said this countless number of times. If the Arabs are not fighting the Jewish people, then they're fighting each other. Now, history will show you that. And it's a constant conflict. The Palestinians say that, and this is not my message, this is introduction. And how many minutes do I get?
Until you're done.
Till I'm done. The Palestinians do not want an Israeli nation. Their maps today that their students are studying by show no Israeli state. The Israelis, on the other hand, are not going back to the 1967 borders. They have captured, you know, 1948, they declared independence. They won their independence 20 years later, or 19 years later. They won the Temple Mount and the old sections of Jerusalem. And now the United States and the UN resolutions are wanting them to give up more land, like the Gaza Strip, for peace. And we have learned, history has taught us the valuable lesson, that they giving land does not ensure peace.
Amen.
There's not going to be any peace in the Middle East until Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sits upon the throne of God from Jerusalem. Now you can say amen to that. Why? Because the Bible teaches us that, and the Bible is true, and heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. Now, I get stirred up about the Bible. I can't help myself. I look back now and saw how lost I was, and saw that I was in blindness and darkness. My wife, God bless her heart, she was a religious atheist. You say, well, how could that be? She knew about Jesus Christ. She was taken to church, but it had no effect on her heart or her life. I didn't go to church. No one took me to church. No one ever told me about Jesus. Till that night, I heard a man of God take the Word of God and preach out of Revelation 20 entitled, The Hell of Hells. And that night, God saved my wife and saved me. And it's been wonderful. I do not know where our marriage would be today had He not. I personally believe I'd have been dead in hell had He not saved me that night. I want to take a time, if we could, because Pastor Hannah has hit on something, and I'd like to just show you something. Pastor Starnes said it as well. Take your Bibles and turn to two places. This is not my message. But I want to show you something because it's going to be introductory material. Look in Zechariah chapter 14 and then First Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at these two passages of Scripture. Words have definitions, don't they? They mean something about them. And in Zechariah chapter 14 and then First Thessalonians, if you would. I thought I had mine marked. Zechariah chapter 14. I know these dear men of God know where I'm going. But I just want to show you this. And then when you get Zechariah 14, if you would, flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to deal tonight with the rapture, if I may. Then tomorrow morning, Lord willing, and be pleased, I want to deal with the Olivet Discourse. And then, Lord willing, Sunday night, I want to deal with the battle of Gog and Magog. Okay? That's our plans. But the Lord may interrupt my plans, okay? There is so much on prophecy, folks. It's amazing. But I want you to hold your place at Zechariah and look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And words mean something, and I just want to see the difference. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is writing to these precious people at this church, and he says in verse number 16, he says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Right then, we..." Paul believed in the rapture of the church. Do you see the personal pronoun we? This means yes. This means no. Do you see it? Paul believed in pre-trib rapture. He said, "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." So in the rapture of the church, Christ comes in the clouds. Plural. All right, now look in Zechariah chapter 14. This is a prediction that Zechariah gives us. And in chapter 14, verse 4, the Bible says, "And his feet..." Now, in the context, it's talking about the day of the Lord. It's talking about our Lord. He said, "And his feet..." Singular. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is for Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave..." That means to split. "In the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it to the south." And what in the topography that's going to change when his feet touch the ground? Okay? It's going to push Mount Zion up higher. It will literally change the landscape. Two things. Number one, that hasn't happened yet. I don't care what the preterists say about AD 70. That has not happened as of yet. Notice, secondly, that in 1 Thessalonians, that hasn't happened as yet as well, has it? Because he comes in the clouds. I like to think it's the Shekinah glory clouds that he comes. He descends in it. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain at that moment shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It is time that cannot be divided." In a moment means time that cannot be divided. A twinkling of an eye is the amount of time it takes for a streak of light to reflect off the eyeball. There is no way a human being can say, "In that amount of time, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake." Now's the accepted time. And if you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord, I'd ask you to come and receive Him as your Savior. And what are we to do? We're to believe the gospel. That's the easiest thing. He's done all the labor. He's done all the work. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that He is our propitiation for our sin. Am I right? That means He's our wrath bearer. He took all the wrath of God upon... put all the wrath of God was placed upon His Son at Calvary. You and I will never, ever be any more secure, we who believe right now, than those who are in heaven. We're just as secure. But most of the time, people have a knowledge of Him. It's like advertisement. They have a knowledge of Him, but they've never received Him into their heart. And listen, I'm just not going to get into this hedonistic theology that's being so bombarded in our society today, especially down south. Down south, they say if you get saved, you'll be happy all the time. Well, there's sometimes I'm not happy. That's what they say, brother. Did you hear, Pastor? And when I said, sometimes I'm not happy, he said, well, you must not be saved. Have you ever had your heart broken? Huh? Have you ever had your heart broken? I've had mine broken. Sure have. That didn't change my salvation one bit. It broke, my heart was so broken, my dog, Tippy, who used to pray before I would feed him, I'd put the food down, and Caleb, he'd sit there and wait on me. And when I'd pray and say amen, that dog would eat. And he would not eat until I said a prayer and said amen. You can't get most Baptists to do that in a restaurant. We are secure in Him. And heaven is no more secure than we are. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that we're seated together with Him in heavenly places. Now, let's look at this place called the rapture. In John chapter 14, and this is familiar, you don't have to turn, I want you to stay at 1 Thessalonians for a moment. John 14, the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. And the reason being was His hour was upon Him. All through the Gospel of John, up until chapter 12, you'll see the Bible record that His hour was not yet come. His hour was not yet come. But then, when you get to John chapter 12, the Greeks come in desiring to see Him. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And then He says, my hour's come. And so He takes His disciples and they have this last meal together. And then He looks at them and begins to teach them what's going to befall Him. And then He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, why would He come again? He explains Himself. That where I am, there ye may also be. The reason for the Lord's return in the rapture is to get His children. That's what He's going to do. And if you're not saved, then you're not one of His children. Oh, but Preacher Starnes, I've been baptized. Baptism is a work, not an obedience. Oh, but Preacher Starnes, I've witnessed. That doesn't mean anything. I've seen lost people witness and they didn't even realize it. How is that, Brother Bill may ask. How is that, Brother Bill? I've seen them take a track and say, I don't need this. And look over to their buddies and say, here, you take it. You need it worse than I do. And they don't realize that they're accountable because the Word of God was placed in their hand. They rejected it in turn. And if that old boy that took the tract from him read that tract and got saved, that'd be a marvelous thing, wouldn't it? Amen. But the lost men didn't realize it, what he was doing. God can take His Word and do a lot with it.
Yeah.
I remember quickly when I was the assistant to an electrical engineer, and I was doing all of his paperwork and computer work. And we had Christmas rolled around. So I purposely bought all the men in the shop hand lotion, foot lotion. Brother, you got all that lotion, didn't you, Pastor?
I got it.
And a New Testament. And they walked out. I walked out there and gave it all to those men. And they looked at me and said, Preacher, we just didn't need that. I didn't need that. I said, listen, fellas, you know that some of the solvents that you put your hands in crack your hands. I said, this lotion will heal your hands and make them better. And some of you, you're anywhere from 12 to 14 hours a day on these concrete floors in those hard boots, and your feet will crack. You need that. Don't look at me strangely. If you don't take care of your feet, they taught you that in the Army, didn't they? Am I right? You got to take care of your feet. If you don't take care of your feet, you can't walk. And I said, so the cream that I gave you is to heal the cracks and help your feet. And then I said, in the Bible, it's to heal the cracks and help the wounds of your heart. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The word rapture is not in your King James Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses are famous for saying that. But the word caught up is. And it comes from a Latin word, rapto, which means to snatch away quickly or abruptly, forcefully. That's where the word rapture comes from. But you see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible teaches us, then in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That means abruptly, quickly snatched away. We call it the imminent return of our Lord. And the word imminent means to hang over one's head. I wanted to borrow Caleb for a second. Can I borrow Caleb for a second? Where's your mama at? She's in the nursery. She's in class. Imminent means to hang over one's head. Now, he doesn't know when I'm going to drop this book. Are you ready? No. I'd mess up that pretty hair, wouldn't I? But that's what it means. Has the idea we do not know when it's going to happen. Just like he don't know when I'm going. I'm not going to drop the book on his head. I wouldn't. I like Caleb. I'll do it to Rebecca. She's my baby girl. Hang over the head. You and I do not. We do not know when it's going to happen. When we least expect it, it could happen. Could you imagine that when it happens, you take that step and instantaneously, right at that moment, you're changed? I'd like to know what it would be like not to have the Adamic nature. I fight with that old boy all the time. And it breaks my heart sometimes. I go into my secret place and talk to my Lord and said, Lord, give me greater victory. We have the anointing, and I think the anointing is the Holy Spirit. He is to teach us from right, from wrong, error, and truth. But I want to walk in that victory all the time, to have a closeness of the Lord, don't you? Well, that's what prophecy will do. It has the unique ability to draw us closer to Him, especially in the days and times that we live in. My, down south, we're killing each other. Are you listening to me? Down south in the Bible Belt, from Chattanooga, Tennessee to Greenville, South Carolina, it's called the buckle of the Bible Belt. We're killing each other. A lady just killed her husband, had her husband killed because of an insurance policy, but their best friend is the one that did the murdering. Am I right, Mrs. Starnes? They plotted together to share the insurance money. So when, and this man was a faithful man of their local church. When he came out, the guy shot him so that the wife could collect the money and split it with her friend. And there wasn't any immorality between the wife, because that guy was the best friend, other than the money. And I'm saying, we're killing each other down south. Why? Because we're not saved down south. They're still, with all the churches and all the seminaries and Bible colleges, we're still lost. Still lost. Yet, beloved, the rapture's going to happen. And I've said this in local churches before. Will you be left behind because you have refused the only blessed hope that we have? Matter of fact, I said this in a church in North Carolina. I said, the rapture's going to spin us so much that when it happens, there'll be people that will come, church members that will come the next Sunday wondering, where's so-and-so at? There may even be preachers that will be ready to preach the next Sunday and the rapture happen. I don't believe that preacher. Paul was looking for it. Then we, he said. Now, beloved, let me say this. I'm going to get my notes out now. You ready? Paul desired for believers to know that this doctrine and understand its working. He did not want this church in particular to be ignorant about the Lord's future plans because it might grieve them as those who had no hope. The doctrine of the rapture is not an afterthought. It is not a man-made ideal or a failed attempt to convert the world. It's not. It is a blessed hope for you and I. It is a glorious time to look forward to the coming of our Lord. Beloved, this is piddly stuff that you and I see with this natural eye. This idea that you leave this world and you can go to heaven and see the glories and want to come back and tell people is phony. Baloney. I was trying to put the two words together. Phony baloney. It's not, beloved. If I were to die and go to heaven, now I wouldn't want to come back unless my Lord comes back with me.
Yeah.
Paul told us, said, our eyes and our ears, and it's no understanding, it's entered into our natural realm of our humanity of the things that God has prepared for us who love Him. We have no idea the beauties and the glories and the peace and the love. There's no ulterior motives in heaven. And beloved, isn't that a glorious thought to think that one day we'll be home?
Amen.
We'll be home. And there'll not be any wars and rumors of wars. And there won't be any thievery. We'll be home. And it may happen before we get out of this building tonight.
Amen.
The world, Christendom as a whole will not convert the world or bring the world into a glorious utopia in which our Lord will return to and then sit upon His throne. No, that's post-millennialism. Instead, the physical visible of what we call Christendom, you see it now, will apostatize. It will begin to stand away from their previous position. And you see it in churches today. Mainline denominations taking the blood out of their hymn book. They're doing it. Seminaries graduating students to go to the ministry who do not believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. That do not even believe in the central doctrines like the virgin birth. That question it. Some even go to the point to say that Jesus did have a wife. And yet we see that, and that's part of the apostasy that is occurring right now. It'll be full-blown in the tribulation period.
Amen.
And then even today, religious men will try to make social happenings with international events as the signs that our Lord is about to return. That these signs will take place in our... Listen, Israel is in the land in unbelief, okay? That's the reason why she's having so much trouble. Yes, the Lord brought them back into Israel, but listen, that's not going to be their birthday. That's not their conversion day. 1948 is not their conversion day. It'll happen in a day. And it'll happen when they'll look at Him and say, "Where did you get those prints in your hand?" And He'll tell them, "I got those wounds in the house of my friends." It's going to happen, beloved. No, these ends, these events, even with all of the apostasy that's occurring in Christendom, are not the signs that the rapture is about to take place. The rapture needs no sign. You remember the word imminent? Hanging over one's head? It can happen when you least expect it. And like I said, Pastor Starnes said it better than I could ever say it. Paul believed it because he was desiring to be changed. He desired for his vile body to be changed. Think about this. That one day we'll have a physical, literal, material body without the Adamic nature. And it'll be a body energized not by human blood, but by the Spirit of God. And yet, I'll be known as I am known. I believe I will see my dad and recognize him. But he will not be, my dad will not be the sickly man that he was when I last saw him. You say, I don't believe all that, Brother Starnes. I've never heard that kind of teaching before. Well, let me ask you something. You remember Mary went to the garden. She was seeking the Lord. She happened to come up on a person she thought was a gardener. But John tells us that it's the Lord. And she looks at him and says, tell me, where have you laid his body? And all he said was one word. Can somebody tell me what that word was?
Mary.
Exactly, brother. Mary. And she recognized him as the Lord. And beloved, that's what's going to happen. That's the blessed hope of the church. One day I'll say, Mom and Dad. And they won't be frail and weak like they were prior to their death. I'll be able to see my sister Jan. And I'll be able to see my brother and my two grandsons. I'll be able to see them that we've buried. And beloved, that's the blessed hope. And you'll be able to see your loved ones that believed in Christ at their death. Now, the rest of my family's lost. Been praying for them for over 30 years. One told my other sister the other day, I shouldn't tell you this. She said, I don't want to talk to William. He doesn't have anything I want to hear. So, Brother Hanhouse, it's going to be the same message it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
All you need to do is be saved.
Yeah.
So why should the believers live for the expectation of the rapture of the church? Well, number one, believers are not given to God's wrath. That love that binds us together by the working of the Holy Spirit in us, who produces the joy, the peace, the love, the fruit of the Spirit, that ought to cause us to live for Him, shouldn't it? Now, because we're not. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How much more time do I have? Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look with me, if you would, please, in verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, for the Lord hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or we're asleep, we should live together with Him. Now, you remember I was talking about the security of the believer. It's because He paid our penalty. And we have received His mercy and grace. And now, through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, we are His. And so that appointment of wrath. And by the way, the Bible teaches us that the Lord knoweth those that are His, doesn't He?
Amen.
He said, I know my sheep.
Amen.
And He knows those that are His. And yet we who profess to know Him, we're to do what? Depart from evil, from iniquity. So it should cause us to have this expectation because we're not given to wrath. Number two, believers will be with Christ before the wrath of God. Now, can somebody tell me what is the wrath of God?
Tribulation.
Exactly. 21 judgments will be given out. And I had it in my mind, but something like, what, 3.5 billion people will die? And the seas turning to blood. But the Bible never gives similes to show that these things will happen. It's a literal interpretation. Because it doesn't say as it were. Some places it says as it were blood. Other places it doesn't. And then other scholars have said that the blood will flow around Jerusalem, a circumference of about 200 miles. Well, that would put it in the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, at the height of a horse's bridle. I don't want to be here when all that's taking place, do you?
Amen.
I don't. Well, but Brother Starnes, that's just fictitious. Well, look at what's going on in the world right now with technology. Daniel said that the man's understanding, his technological feats would double. That's happening. And Israel, like I said, is back in the land, even though she's in unbelief. And just look at what's happening. Now, let's look at the next one. The wrath of God. Believers will be with Christ for the wrath of God because the Bible says that Jesus will go and prepare a place for us and that He will come again and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, we may also be. Well, that'll happen prior to the pouring out of the wrath of God. Number three, believers are a heavenly people with a divine nature suited for heaven. That's the reason why we're going to be changed. The voice of God, the trump of God, when it happens, Who is able to understand and describe or know that that is the trump of God? What human knows that trump? What human knows that sound? You tell me? No human knows that. No human knows that sound. We have no idea. But God in us does know that sound. See, He's in us. And He's the one that's going to do the changing. And He knows the sound of the trump. And He knows which trump it is. And please don't get the last trump confused with the trumpets in the tribulation, okay? I had one to tell me the other day, I said, well, the last trump leads to the vile judgment. I said, brother, that's not what you're studying. And by the way, Jewish believers understood what the last trump meant. And so, we are a heavenly people. We are suited with a divine nature for heaven. John chapter 14, verse 3. I'm going to give you these right quick. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 44 through 49. And Revelation 21, 9 through 10. And remember, when you read your Bible, I'd like for you to notice two things. Number one, it's all about Him, the Lord Jesus. And number two, He was Jewish. And in His first coming, it was depicted what tribe He would come from, what family He'd come from, what lineage He'd come from, and He's Jewish. And so I want you to understand, this is a Jewish book. Some of you are looking at me like you've never heard that before. Are you tired? You ready for me to sum it up? You ready for okay, I will. He didn't say anything. Number four, believers are in reverse order of the events than the world. I want you to get this one. The rapture, good will be taken and evil will be left. Judgment upon the world. Amen. The rapture of the believers is God's judgment upon the world. It's part of God's judgment. Even though it's not in the seals or the trumpets or the it is still. Because we put the gospel out throughout the world, don't we? Churches do, don't we? We support missionaries. We go on mission trips. We give out tracts. We go door knocking. We witness. But when the rapture happens, that's done away with. Now we have judgment, don't we? Think about it. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight?
Amen.
Well, somebody had to lead you to the Lord. You just didn't wake up one day and say, well, I'm saved. It doesn't work that way, folks. So that is in reverse order. When the rapture, when He descends, the good will be taken and the evil left. 7 years later, when He comes back on a white horse and those behind Him following Him on a white horse, it's reverse order now. What will happen will be the evil will be taken out of the way and the good will be here. Because then He's going to judge during that, 75 days after the tribulation, He'll be judging the nations. And those who have taken care of Israel during the tribulation, they have fed them, they clothed them, they've watched over them, they have done right by them, they'll go into the millennial reign. And those who have not, who have rebelled, try to help the Antichrist stamp out. And by the way, Zechariah teaches us about 66% of the Jewish population will perish during the tribulation. Those people involved in that will go to hell. So I want you to see when He comes back on His white horse. So in the secret coming, the good will be taken and the evil left. But in His sovereign coming, the good will be sown and the evil will be removed. We'll enter into the millennial reign. And I believe believers will be in there reigning with Him. Now, think about with me. I'm just about done. Think about this. What would it be like to walk up to a male lion about this high with a head like that and reach over and just rub him like you would a cat? I am deathly afraid of snakes. But in the millennial reign, the Bible says a child will pick up an asp and it'll do him no harm. Isn't that amazing? In the millennial reign, The men that come in to sow the fields, they will overtake the reapers. The reapers will say, the men that's sowing the fields say, hey, you got to get out of the way. We got to sow this crop. They say, well, we hadn't got the bounty in yet. You got to wait. No! They'll overtake them. The Bible teaches us that. Today, there's enough food to feed the world. But wicked men in wicked places use food as a commodity to control people. But in that day, every man will sit under his own vineyard. He'll live. If he dies at the age of 100, I believe that's a sin unto death. He dies as an infant. Cancer and COPD and heart trouble and diabetes will be a thing of the past. No tuberculosis, no whooping cough, none of that. It's a thing of the past. Stress levels, there'll be such thing for you and me. I'm talking about the millennial. And I'd just like to be able to get on old Clarence, that big old 400-pound lion, and say, giddy up, boy. The lamb will lay down by the lion, not inside the lion, but lay down by the lion. Men will take their weapons of warfare and beat them into farming equipment. War colleges will be a thing of the past. Funeral homes, gone.
Amen.
I had a pastor friend said he hopes to be an architect during the millennial kingdom. He said there'll be a lot of destruction because of the tribulation period. He said, I've always wanted. He said, God called me to preach and pastor, and he did for almost 50 years at one church. He said, but I've always liked to build things. He said, I hope I can be an architect during the millennial kingdom. Well, I think God likes working people.
Amen.
But that type of work will not be as laborious as our work today. And yet, like Pastor Hannah said, we're going to rule and reign with him. I wouldn't know how to rule and reign. I've never done that.
Yeah.
But we are. Just because he saw this old boy from the sand hills of South Carolina that fateful September night and said, boy, you need to be saved. And I said, yes, Lord, I do, but I don't know how. He said, you just come unto me and I'll make you whole. And he saved me and he saved my wife and changed my life and changed my mind, changed my heart, changed my will, and he's changed my outlook on my destiny because he's that great of a God.
Amen.
And the rapture's coming, and I say with the church, even come so, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you're looking at your 401k, and I'm not saying not to have one, if you're looking to your Social Security check, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, I'm saying you ought to lift up your eyes and behold your Savior in a special way because he said, I will, that's emphatic, come again.
Amen.
And we say, come, Lord. Come get me. I'm ready to go. I ain't got anything tied to this world. All my children profess to be saved. I'd like to see my siblings saved. But we've been praying and talking to them for over 30 years. After a while, that gets to drudgery. Man, I want to go to somebody I've never met and talk to them about the Lord. Say amen, church.
Amen.
And I say, come, Lord. And he is coming. Well, I'll leave you with this bit because I cut my message short. If you read that William R. Starnes died, you somehow get on the computer and you check South Carolina, you find out that William R. Starnes died, you check up, that's another lie from the devil. How do I know? The Bible says, they believe on me shall never die. I just went home. And because of the rapture, I will return again. So whether it's by the cloud or by the clod, we who believe in Jesus Christ are secure.
Amen.
And he's coming again. May we stand with our heads bowed. Pastor.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact us, please write us at P.O. Box 126-541, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17112. And visit our website at www.sdbcpa.org. Until next time.